Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, journalist Rich Cohen takes us for a ride in the country.
Where we find Nirvana?
Okay, I think we're ready. You ready?
Yep.
All right. Hey, it's just another day here on Rockin' the Suburbs in the basement.
That's right. Another morning in the basement.
I'm Jim Lenahan.
I am Patrick Foster.
And Patrick, we have a very special guest via Skype here. Somebody who we've talked with in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Great rock author. And
you mean the guy who wrote the book about Sweet and Low. Love that.
Sweet and Low is one thing, yes. Yep. But also about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's right.
His name is Rich Cohen. He wrote the book The Sun and the Moon and the Rolling Stones. If you have not read it yet, you absolutely should. And Rich, I also just read an article that you wrote for Vanity Fair about, of all things, the Canadian maple syrup cartel.
Yes, it's the OPEC of maple syrup. They, I went up to the, I've always wanted to go, actually, and I finally got to the Strategic Maple Syrup Reserve in Quebec.
Nice.
And I always imagine there'd be a chance I could actually fall in and sort of do a dead man's float in the maple syrup, but it's actually just in barrels, not a giant open vat as I had imagined. I imagine it like in the night, in the night kitchen, the Marie Sendak book, like falling in a big jug of milk, but it wasn't like that at all. It was very sanitary.
It's beautiful.
One of the great things about that article was that all, like halfway through I'm reading this and all of a sudden it takes this turn and becomes like this heist story.
Right. Well, because there was this, you know, crazy heist where these guys stole hundreds of millions of gallons, barrels and barrels of syrup right out of the reserve. And I sort of felt like that was just one part of the story, though, because the reserve itself had to be part of the story. And then Aunt Jemima had to be a big part of the story, because Aunt Jemima was the syrup that I had when I was a kid. And I'm such an idiot. I always just thought Aunt Jemima was syrup. I didn't realize that Aunt Jemima is like a hated character up in Quebec, because Aunt Jemima stands for everything they hate up there, which is it's not really syrup. It's kind of fake, which is why you can buy, you know, a swimming pool full of it for like a dollar.
Right.
Yes.
The commercialized American version of syrup. Yeah.
That's right. Meanwhile, actual maple syrup goes for like $15 for a bottle, right?
Well, it's 25 times more expensive than crude oil.
Holy.
And that's why the crime happened, because it's so valuable that it's worth stealing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So check that out.
I got to read this because I haven't read it. No, I got to read it. And I love the way Rich inserts himself into his writing. It's fantastic.
It's great stuff. Yep. So let's get back to the Rolling Stones, because that's really what we want to talk about.
I think
for a minute here.
Yeah.
So you wrote this great book, The Sun and the Moon and the Rolling Stones, and it goes through all of the band's history, but also your sort of personal history as a fan and as a, as someone who covered them for Rolling Stone and things like that. But they also just now put out a new album of blues covers called Blue and Lonesome.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that, Rich?
I like to think that it was inspired by me, though I know it wasn't. I mean, basically, when you look at the Rolling Stones and look at, you know, the records they haven't made in the last few years and what you consider their last sort of great record, to me, it's obviously Some Girls. You sort of like, well, what can these guys do, you know, artistically, like where should they go? And I always thought that we have the set list from their first show. I always thought they should put out a record of those songs.
Oh, that's
they should remake their first concert.
Yep.
And they didn't do that exactly, but that is almost what they did. They played these blues songs that they started playing when they started as Brian Jones, you know, blues cover band. And they went back to those original songs, and it's a little bit reminiscent, although he did it kind of young, when he was much younger, when Bob Dylan made those two records where he went kind of back to his roots and did songs like Stagger Lee and all those songs. And then after that, it sort of revved him up and he came back with those, you know, great late career fluorescence of, you know, those great records like Time Out of Mind and Love and Theft. So I kind of think it's in that vein. It's like I always say, you know, when you get lost, and I feel like it's when it comes to records, they've been lost for a little while. Go back to where you started and start again. And that's kind of what they're doing. And you hear their energy and excitement in doing it.
Yeah. A refresher course. That's beautiful.
It is like a whole full circle. And a lot of people are commenting on how energetic and how sort of rejuvenated Mick Jagger in particular really sounds.
Yeah, because that's that music and that sound is where the Rolling Stones come from. Mm-hmm. And everything else is just an evolution of that, and it's a riff off of that. And, you know, the story I love is when they, a lot of these songs were Chess Records songs in Chicago. When they first went into Chess Records and all these guys came to watch the Rolling Stones cover their songs, and guys like, you know, Muddy Waters and Little Walter and Willie Dixon were all there watching them. Jagger, story I always heard, had to, like, at the beginning actually sing with his back to the room because he couldn't stand to have himself watched by those guys, because it's like watched by the gods up on Olympus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. So, Rich, you do have a favorite song, not a Rolling Stone song, from 2016. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to hear your big reveal on that. All right.
Let's do it.
All right, Patrick. So I know that Rock in the Suburbs is one of the most popular podcasts, really, that there is, that there ever has been.
That's right.
But there are others out there. And one of them I think our listeners might enjoy, if you like movies, in addition to just music, mm-hmm. you might want to check out Out of Theaters.
Okay. So they're like the Cristiano Ronaldo of podcasts, and we're like the Lionel Messi of podcasts.
I'm going to trust you on this. Okay. I don't really know.
I think that's right.
Okay. The way this works is our friends Will Pfeiffer and Billy Culpa, they are the hosts, and one of them is a big movie buff. The other guy doesn't know that much about movies at all.
Perfect.
They watch the same movie every week, and then they discuss it in sort of this odd couple kind of fashion, and it's really funny.
Great.
Yeah. So you're going to check that out because you're going to go to outoftheaters.com.
That's what I'm doing right now.
And or subscribe to the show on iTunes. Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's get back to our show.
Perfect.
Okay. And we're back with Rich Cohen, journalist, author of The Sun and the Moon and the Rolling Stones, a great book. And Rich, we're ready to hear your favorite song of 2016. What is it?
It's the Sturgill Simpson cover of the Nirvana song In Bloom.
Wow.
Sell kids for food, where the changes move. Spring is here, reproductive plan. He's a one who likes all our pretty songs and likes to sing along and likes to shoot his gun, but you don't know what it means. Don't know what it means to love someone.
All right.
Yeah. Amazing.
That is pretty great.
That is amazing. Yeah. Our old friend Mary Nihorniak is a huge fan of that song.
So what is it you like about that?
First of all, it's one of those songs that makes you hear the original song again for the first time, you know? Second of all, it's this kind of fantasy for me of seeing, in a way, Nirvana turned into mid-70s Elvis. That's what I hear in it. You know, I used to have this record I've never been able to find again called The King, where it was an Elvis impersonator singing the kind of songs Elvis might have sung had he lived. And there is a Nirvana song on it, and he sings like No Woman, No Cry, the Bob Marley song.
Yeah.
No cry, no woman, no cry.
There's something about, you know, there's Elvis's voice runs all through rock and roll. And it's always focused that it's the early Elvis voice, but really it's Elvis's whole career. And that, you know, Sturgill Simpson is this great return to me to the really the classic country that I love. I know the Rolling Stones love. They imitate it all the time too, as much as the blues, which is, you know, the George Jones and Waylon Jennings and even, you know, going all the way back to like Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like Sturgill Simpson's picked that up and he is that thing and it's completely authentic. And he recognized his song in the Nirvana song. And I just love it because it's completely, he's a little bit younger than me, completely influenced by the music that I grew up with. but singing it entirely in his voice from his place. And I just, it's, you can sort of listen to it again and again. And it's got that kind of slightly David Lynch thing of like a guy who did that version of that song maybe has some really weird secret life that we don't know about, you know? So there's that whole resonance to it too.
It really is an amazing cover, and that idea of completely reimagining the song in a way that you as a fan could never have imagined, right? And
yeah, I mean, the choice is amazing. What a left field but brilliant choice. For
it also record. when you hear it for the first time, it's like that thing, like if a friend of yours walked up to you in a different life, it you like, wait, yeah. I know this person, I don't know this person.
Right.
You're like, what, you know, there's a minute of not being able to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Until he kind of gets into the chorus of the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you recognize it, and it's just, it's just exactly what a cover should be, which is a complete reinvention, yet exactly the same.
And did you like the whole record, Rich?
Yeah, I like the whole record, and I like all of his records. And I just think, you know, sometimes I get kind of down about the what's coming out, the new music now, and
yeah.
that he and those records that he's been making just give me complete hope that America still has its true rock and roll soul.
Well said.
Yeah. Are you a Nirvana guy?
Yeah. Who isn't? I mean, who grew up, was born in 1968, as I was, and isn't a Nirvana guy.
Right. Sort of. It's hard not to be.
Well, because I think when you grew up with that, and there's such an aura around that band and that record, that you think like that these songs really can't be covered because they can't be improved upon.
Yeah, but you know, it's Kurt Cobain's amazing because he didn't do as many songs, but I always think he's kind of like the rock and roll age Hank Williams Jr. because he died, it's Hank Williams Sr. I mean, because he died so young, but yet he left so many great songs, you know, and there is a sort of a songbook of covers of Nirvana songs. A lot of them aren't good, but they're always sort of interesting because you recognize that there's the noise of them. Some of those songs are almost like noise songs, but then there's this sort of bone underneath them, which are just these pure, melodic, beautiful songs. So I think of like, there's a Paul Anka version of one of the songs. I forget which of them. You ever hear that? And then there's Patty. Oh, just, it's really wild.
That's
to listen
amazing.
To like him. He turns him into Frank Sinatra, you know?
Yeah.
With the lights out, less dangerous, here we are now. Entertain us, I feel stupid. Contagious, here we are now.
And then there's Patti Smith's cover of I Think Smells Like Teen Spirit.
With the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us, I feel stupid. And contagious, here we are now.
This really kind of interesting cover that Steve Earle does of Breed, I think it is. So
that I have heard. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yes. So there is this kind of, I don't know, tradition or something. He's more and more going to become somebody that's covered a lot, especially considering, you know, how short his life was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks very much, Rich. Thanks for being on and thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really fun to talk about it. Thanks.
Okay. And for our listeners, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Both of those are at Suburbs Pod. And you can also email us suburbspod@gmail.com. And you can call our hotline, kind of like Rich is doing, but not exactly, which is 612-440-1984. Leave us a message about your favorite songs or whatever you want to talk about. Maybe we'll put you on the air on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I remain Patrick Foster.
Thanks very much, Rich Cohen. Have a great 2017.
Thanks. You too.